broadcasting from Nashville Guitar Store in the heart of Music City, USA. Bringing you inspiration, education, and behind-the-scenes stories from prominent guitarists and others influential in the music profession. Sharing tales of their history, discussing guitars, their gear, their work, what's on tap for the future, and delivering wisdom we'll all appreciate. Your host is Marcia Ware, nationally recognized radio personality, singer, actor, and author.
Roger Eaton is our guest this time around. I gotta tell you, this is truly one of the most talented guys you're gonna ever come across. He's worked with the likes of Barbara Mandrell, Lori Morgan, Joe Diffie, Tanya Tucker, Vern Gosden, among others. He subs at the Grand Ole Opry Staff Band. He has currently actually been on the road with the Oak Ridge Boys, who I understand have just been inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Congrats to them.
Yes.
Welcome to the podcast, my darling.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We always like to start at the beginning. And for you, that was Corbin, Kentucky?
Corbin, Kentucky. That's right.
What was life like for a boy in Corbin, Kentucky?
There wasn't much going on, especially musically. And I started really young, playing on the side of the bed with my dad, who had a banjo that I still have today.
Love it.
I can't play it. You don't want to hear me try. I still have it. And he actually was the one that kind of sparked the enthusiasm, you know, to play.
Yeah. That was actually my next question. Who encouraged you to play?
Yeah.
Your dad.
My dad. Yeah.
Now, you were how old when you picked up the banjo?
You mean when I put it down?
When you attempted to?
When I attempted, probably 10.
What about a guitar?
About the same time.
Yeah.
But I knew immediately the banjo's not for me.
It's not for many people.
No.
It may be for Keith. Maybe for Keith Urban.
Yeah, he does well.
I can deal with that.
Or
I can
banjo, one or the other.
Exactly. Do you still have that first guitar?
Yes, I do.
Wow. Okay, so where is that?
It is underneath my bed.
Now, you have a son, Hugh.
Yes.
And Hugh is how old now?
He is 10.
Now, has he shown an interest in playing?
Yes, he is involved in so much sports.
Okay.
And stuff like that right now. But he has the gift.
Yeah.
I can hear when he sings on pitch. He has pocket. He has phrasing. He knows how to phrase things. So it's in there.
Yeah.
And I think eventually it will start coming out when sports kind of dies down.
Do you think you'll pull out that guitar from underneath the bed and let him try it or get him one?
He's welcome to at any point.
Absolutely. Who was inspiring you besides your dad? Because I know, knowing you as long as I've known you, your parents have always been such an inspiration to you. But musically, who was inspiring you back in the day?
Probably Jimi Hendrix, Grand Funk Railroad, Santana. You know, I listened to all those bands. And interestingly enough, people say, being from Kentucky, you must have played a lot of bluegrass. And I say, none. Hardly any. I always say I know enough about bluegrass to make bluegrass players mad. You know, I can play some, but I don't consider myself a bluegrasser. And I was listening to rock back then.
How hard was that transition? Because if anybody that's ever heard you play, and I will tell you, one of the first things I remarked when I first met you was how much of a natural you were at it.
Well, when I come to town in 92,
mm-hmm.
It was a bit of a transition because I'd really never dealt with number charts and anything like that until I got here, you know. And being a rock player...
And by number charts, you mean the Nashville number system.
The Nashville number system, yeah. Being a rock player, transitioning into playing with, like, Joe Diffie or somebody like that who has, you know, Brent Mason chicken picking all over it, you know. It was a bit of a challenge at first, but it started, you know, becoming natural. And I think because most of what I have to go on is just what God put in me. You know, I don't have a lot of head knowledge as far as theory and all that.
Right.
But I can play from my gut with numbers, you know, a number system. And I think that's, you know, what's got me to where I am right now, wherever that is.
So you came to Nashville in 92, so most of what your professional work has been in country primarily?
Yeah.
Who was the first big gig you got?
Well,
was that Barbara?
My first, yeah, probably as far as... on that level,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Now, had to have been a masterclass, given that Barbara Mandrell is just such a force of nature musically.
She was, is, still to this day, if she wanted to be. She chose to retire. But she was a perfectionist and one of the best bosses I ever had. And with her show, I had to play country, rock, jazz, blues.
Wow.
You had to be, and that was my third gig in town.
Okay.
You know, I started with Vern Gosden and then Tanya Tucker briefly and then went to Barbara.
That's a ride I would gladly buy a ticket for.
I worked with Tanya again recently, you know, a few years back. She was great.
Yeah, crazy fun.
She was funny and a total pleasure to work with
when
I was there.
So when it comes to somebody like, now this is a really good example for the players that are listening on the podcast. So you've got Barbara, who's got all these different genres wrapped up into one amazing show. And when it comes to like the gear that's involved in something like that, what is a setup just for somebody like a Mandrell show? What kind of transitions did you have to make?
Well, I remember when I was with her in 93 is when I started. I think in 94 we went to in-ear monitors, and then they wanted everybody to start going direct. So I had to go with a system that you could go direct with and still get a speaker emulation type of sound, and that was all rack gear at that point. And but as time has gone on, you know, I've moved away from the rack stuff and gotten back into heads primarily.
Okay.
And I'm even starting to move away from pedals now in the studio.
Okay.
I find that pedals do great out in live scenarios,
right.
You know. But I'm pretty much relying on heads for my tone nowadays.
Yeah.
If I record or something.
Well, what is your actually, that's great to go into, because as far as your tour setup, what do you use there?
Well, a guy named Rick Hayes, he's down in Florida, built it's essentially a Princeton head, Fender Princeton head, but he modded it heavily for me. Built it hand-wired from scratch, and I use that on one side. I run stereo, and on the other side I have the company's called Ugly Amps. It's an 18-watt. It's essentially a cross between a mini Plexi Marshall kind of thing and a AC-15, and I run them kind of hot until they're about ready to break up, and I kick pedals in front of them. And for 40 years of covering material with, you know, for 40 years of their material, the Oaks, it works. You know, huge pedal board, because I never know what sound I'm going to have to have from one night to the next with those guys.
Okay, so would you say that Mandrell's setup was more complex, or was are the Oaks?
I'd say it's more complex now.
Yeah. Would you consider yourself a, as far as my memory serves, I kind of see you as an evolving gearhead, but did you ever consider yourself to be a gearhead?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopeless gearhead. I find myself constantly, you know, sidestepping. I happened to come across a recording of me playing on an amp back in the 80s, and I thought, wow, there's the tone. I've come full circle. I had a rack that was 14 spaces high with switching system in it, and I got rid of all that, and I've come back full circle, just an amp with some pedals.
Wow.
You know, so,
if you had one guitar in your arsenal that could tell a story, which one would it be, and what would the story be?
It would probably be the acoustic that I've had for quite a few years. I used that with Lori and Pam, and I've had it on a cruise ship, and Larry Gatlin knocked it over by accident.
Okay, can we just put a pause there? You and Larry Gatlin.
Larry's a great guy.
He is hilarious.
And
he just, and he loves you. It's just, in the years I've known y'all,
yeah, I see him out with the Oaks. You know, I run into him quite often, and we talk. But he's a great guy. But to this day, you know, he doesn't know that he knocked the guitar over unless he hears this.
Okay.
Then he'll know.
Yeah, then he'll know.
It put a big gash down in it.
No.
Oh, it did. Yeah.
Oh, Larry.
But when people say, "Man, where'd that scratch come from?" I said, "Well, it's a story."
Yeah.
I left it there.
Yeah.
You know. Thanks,
well,
Larry.
So when you write songs, because I know you are also a very gifted writer and producer, what guitar do you like to use to write? Is that same?
Probably acoustic, yeah.
Yeah.
That seems to be where I get some ideas from time to time.
So which brand of acoustic are you kind
of?
Well,
I have, thanks to, you know, some in companies that have given me some stuff. You know,
yeah.
I have
Yeah, we're all about free shout outs and endorsements here, so honey,
Recording King Guitars has been great. They've supplied me with a number of guitars, you know, and I use, there's some of them that I record with, some of my take out live.
Okay.
Two different things, totally.
Yeah. So, but for writing?
Yeah.
I like an old friend.
I have a couple of them sitting around the house, and I'll grab up for an idea.
Now, when you're working with somebody on a project and you're bringing in the players, what do you look for when you hire guitarists on your sessions from a practical standpoint?
Well, I always do it on a case by case. You know, you have those guys in town that can play anything you throw at them and play it all well. And you got those guys that specialize in certain things that just do it off the chain. Mm-hmm. Right. So I look at it like case by case. If it's has a jazz influence, I'll hire somebody different maybe than I would if it had more of a rock influence.
Yeah.
You know, but there's such a plethora of players to pick from in this town. And then I hire you to sing because it doesn't matter what I throw at you. It's there. And it's done quickly.
Yeah.
And I mean that. Now get out of here.
All right, exactly. Here's your $5.
That's right.
Well, who inspires you now?
What I'm more inspired with right now is trying to have my relationship with Christ.
Awesome.
Be better.
Yeah.
Closer. Because I've been through a lot in the last 3 years, and God has blessed me immensely with a great job now with the Oaks. You know, those guys really take good care of me.
Yeah.
I'm in a great relationship now.
Yeah.
Things have just, you know, God has absolutely restored me completely. So there's my inspiration more than anything, you know, I think.
Are you, I know we've had some guests on here who are active in playing in church and things like that. Do you, are you able to do that right now? Or
I'm not able to now.
Just because of your schedule with the Oaks. Yeah, but you have done that before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's
I was
cool.
Praise worship leader for a period a few years back, too. And eventually, I would like to get back into that.
We're going to put a pause on our conversation with Roger Eaton right there and come back after a quick stretch. When we return, Roger Eaton's simple definition of success and more talk about what it's like to be on stage with some of the legends in the music industry. That's what you can expect in part two. I'm Marcia Ware Wilder, and you are at NashvilleGuitarStore.com.
At NashvilleGuitarStore.com, paying full price for guitars is a thing of the past. Like dial-up internet. You'll find Epiphone, Fender, Gretsch, Ibanez, Taylor, and lots more. What you won't find is the big box store prices. Get yourself a killer guitar at a fraction of the retail price at NashvilleGuitarStore.com.
NashvilleGuitarStore.com.
Lori Morgan in a live performance from 2013 in Sweden with Roger Eaton, our guest for today, on backing vocals as well as lead guitar. I am Marcia Ware Wilder, and you are at NashvilleGuitarStore.com. Let's get into part two of our conversation with Roger Eaton.
How do you define success?
I think just being able to get up and be thankful for what you have rather than what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And success is so different from one person's eyes to the next person's
absolutely
eyes. You know, I consider myself successful because I've made it through 20 some odd years in this town, and I'm still in there kicking. You know, success on a level, multi-million records sold that I've. You know, a song that I've written or something like that, no, but I've certainly been blessed, and I've been able to see the world. I've been able to see and do things that a lot of other people never get to.
Yeah.
You know, I've had an artist or two on the radio that I've produced. So I feel very fortunate, very blessed. And I consider that a form of success right there.
The music industry has changed ridiculously in the past 25 years. What do you think are some of the bigger challenges for you as a musician, as a songwriter? I mean, just kind of pull from, like, because you have so many areas of life, so many irons in the industry fire. First of all, what do you think as a player, what are some of your bigger challenges?
Keeping up with the times, I guess, would be one of them. You know, you got to keep kind of reinventing your tones, your techniques.
Yeah.
You can't, it's really hard to not get locked in a certain era. You know, Toto, Steve Lukather, Mike Landau, Larry Carlton, those guys were huge influences on my playing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of gotten away from that now. You know, the whole musical genre of almost every genre.
Yeah.
But those influences are still there. And it's, you have to keep reinventing yourself without taking yourself completely out of that mold.
Okay.
Like Billy Gibbons, ZZ Top, those guys have been around for 40 years plus, I guess.
Yeah.
You still know it's Billy Gibbons.
Right.
But it's not the same Billy Gibbons that it was all those years back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does the reinvention happen at a certain age?
That's a good question. It's one of those things that you just, once you dive in, I think you evolve or not, you know, over time. And staying current with the trends that are popular is good, but at the same thing, at the same time, rather, it's easy to lose yourself if you don't watch it. It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
Listen to the radio, listen to what's on. But I think more important than anything is to listen to what was.
Okay. As a foundation.
As a foundation.
Yeah.
Because everything we're hearing now has been pulled from what was back then in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, Hendrix, all those guys is still influencing what we do today.
Yeah.
So I would say start the beginning as far back as you can, go from there and add to it. That's what I had to do, you know.
Yeah. And that's good for a guitarist of any age.
Yeah.
That's
or vocalist or any musician.
Any musician of any age, absolutely. Because when I do get those little moments of inspiration when I start to write, it's almost always some sort of foundation found in, say, Motown or or Carole King or just depending on who the last person is I've listened to. All right. So what was your most embarrassing moment on stage?
I think I had walked out to do a solo with Joe Diffie. I'll never forget this. I walked out to do a solo, and Barbara always said, as you get done, don't just turn around and walk away. Back away.
Yeah.
Slowly. Mm-hmm. And then turn around. So I backed. I was in the habit of doing that.
Yeah.
I backed up over a monitor, and I really didn't miss a lick. I don't know how it happened, but I get up, and everybody's not cheering me for the solo I did, but they're cheering me that I wasn't injured, you know, and I was able to, it's like, okay.
Yep.
And the song went right on like nothing happened.
What did Diffie do?
He's laughed.
Oh my gosh, good guy.
He's laughed. Yeah, I love Joe.
Yeah, it's a good man. So where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Still playing my guitar, hopefully more in a production facet, production session kind of thing.
Does the road ever get tiring to you?
Oh yeah, yeah. Those guys wear me down. You know, they're 70 years old, and they're still out there.
They're still going.
And they're getting it, and they're just as strong as ever. And I'm looking at them going, what is it you're doing?
Yeah.
Give me some of what you're doing.
Right.
And because I don't see any signs of them stopping. But in 5 years from now, if they're still around, I'll probably be right out there with them. Who knows, you know. But all I know is I've come this far. I'm not about to quit now.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll also be able to do more in Christian music. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to be in.
Yeah.
Contemporary Christian.
What was the best piece of advice your dad ever gave you?
If you're going to do a job, even if it's sweeping floors, do it better than anybody and with a great attitude. And I don't always you know, make it with the attitude part. It's just really hard out there. You know how it is.
Yeah.
But I try to just do my job with excellence and try to have a good attitude. Yeah. I miss the mark, but
I do try. We all do. Well, sweetie, thank you. Man, this has been one of the easiest interviews. How can we hear more from you? Do we just go to like your... Do you have a Facebook page? Do you have any kind of social media
presence? I will probably be back on Facebook before too long.
Because you're the kind of guy that likes to take vacations from Facebook, and I so respect that.
Yeah, I've taken about a year off from it.
You have had an amazing career, and I love that it's still in forward motion. All respect to Barbara Mandrell, to Joe Diffie, to Vern Gosden, Lori Morgan, Pam Tillis. Your guitar work, that I think is what really made me... I was really surprised when you told me that your roots were in rock and R&B, because they all had a respect for popular music styles, but that was forte. That was their heart. Their heart was in country music. And so for your playing, there was just something about the tones that you used. It was... I love the fact that Lori incorporated a little bit of the R&B sound.
She allowed me to be me.
Yes.
Just like the Oaks do now.
Yeah.
You know, Dwayne told me. He said, you know, signature licks is one thing. He said, but I don't want you playing everything necessarily like the last guy or what's on the records. He said, I want you to be you.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
When an artist comes and tells me that and allows me to do that, just like... And Lori was great about that.
Yeah.
You know,
because there was so much of it. There was that really great traditional country that I heard from you, particularly not just in your playing but in your BGVs. It was so easy to sing with you.
I
tell you right now, there were moments where I just was on cloud nine.
We were a harmony machine.
We really were.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
So if anybody's listening, y'all want a harmony machine, hook us up.
That's right. HarmonyMachine.com.
Exactly. That's your... Oh, now you're onto something. Now you're onto something. But I love the fact that each artist allowed you to take... take a particular tone and really make it a part of their sound. And it just...
Yeah.
It was a seamless transition from artist to artist to artist for you, was it not?
Pretty much. And I'm not giving myself credit for that as much as I probably should give the artist more credit.
It takes a really secure artist to allow your background vocalist and your lead guitarist to do something like that.
Yeah, and to come to you and give you license, you know, to do something different. Because other than some of the signature stuff, I don't necessarily play solos the same every night. I don't do fills the same exact way every night because...
I don't know how you could.
No, I just... You get too boring.
Yeah. Hey, back to the original question. And before we go into Take Your Pick, which is my favorite part of the interview,
right.
If people want to know where you're going to be, they can check you out with the Oaks at OakRidgeBoys.com.
OakRidgeBoys.com. I also have a website.
Oh, okay.
RogerEatonMusic.com.
Okay.
And that's a baby website right now. We just fired it up recently.
Okay.
So there will be more on there in time.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's jump right into my favorite part. Don't give it a whole lot of consideration, a lot of deep thought. It's just kind of a gut check. This or that. We call it Take Your Pick. All right?
All right.
You ready?
All right.
Beatles or Stones?
Beatles.
Strings, 10s or 11s?
10s.
Peanut butter, smooth or chunky?
Smooth.
Amps, Fenders or Marshalls?
Marshalls.
Coffee with the Works or straight black?
Coffee with the Works.
Play live or in studio?
Yes.
Toilet paper, over or under?
Over.
This is very important for people in relationships.
For goodness sakes, over.
Yeah, it's very... Okay, toothpaste, from the bottom or from the middle?
From the bottom.
Well done, you. 4 a.m., get up or go to bed?
Yes. Depending on where I am.
All right. Stevie Ray Vaughan or Bonnie Raitt?
I'll have to give you another yes. They're two of my faves.
Jeff Beck or Brian May?
Jeff Beck.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Tone, nice and clean or distorted and crunchy?
Somewhere in the middle of that.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Road Anthem, Freebird or Life is a Highway?
Life is a Highway.
There you go. That's it. See how painless that was?
Yeah.
Roger Eaton, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no blood.
None. You're fine. You're still breathing. You're walking up.
All my limbs are attached.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, somebody's coming and stolen your wallet during the course of this interview, but never mind. That doesn't matter.
Well, they're not going to find anything in it today. One step ahead.
Oh, Roger, thank you so much for sharing with us and for just being a part of this
thank
podcast.
Thank you, Marcia. I appreciate you having me on here, and thanks to Nashville Guitar Store as well.
Dedicated to bringing you inspiration, education, and behind-the-scenes stories from prominent guitarists and others influential in the music profession. To hear more, subscribe to the Nashville Guitar Store podcast in iTunes. Go to NashvilleGuitarStore.com or find us on Facebook and Instagram.